of things. Before I start, I need to say some thank yous. First of all, I need to say thank you again to this church, and I can't say thank you enough. I've shared my story with you many, many times in terms of when I came to Eastleigh Baptist, 2014, I was ready to leave church, if you like. I was definitely ready to leave youth ministry. There was no way I was doing youth ministry. I was going to do youth work, maybe like, you know, for a council or something like that. There was no way I was doing youth ministry because of a situation that happened where I'd got burnt. And so thank you again, obviously, to Eastleigh Baptist for loving me, being patient with me, being kind, being firm as well. And I'm looking at you at the back. Yeah, hiding behind that pillar. Firm in love. I wasn't sticking around in youth ministry, and you loved me to the point where actually it was just I had to get over that hurt and that pain, and to feel loved and accepted in a church again when I wasn't very nice. I don't want to say the word nice, but I didn't want you to love me, if that makes sense, and I didn't want you to allow me to fix that. But you did anyway, so thank you for that. And just thank you for how you've been looking after my parents. I know some of you have been looking after my parents very, very well. Similar situation, been burnt, been hurt, and this church just welcomes people in and just puts their arms around them and just says, it's okay, just come as you are, you're one of us, we love you, you can be here, and I'm sure that's how you feel as well. And so as if you like, a son of mum and dad, of Sue and David, who are sat over there, thank you for loving them. And journeying with them. They love this church and all your wacky ways, as I did. But you've been lovely to them. And it's great to be able to now say that, how do I say it? Got to be careful that my parents. Is it fair to say it's lovely to see you healing? Yeah? Okay. It's lovely to see them healing. And feeling loved and feeling accepted and have a place here. So thank you for how you've looked after my parents. Is there any more thank yous I need to give? No. Chris has done enough. It's fine. So what I wanted to do actually this evening is I just wanted to just highlight very briefly a story in the Gospel of John that I've liked, and it's a popular story with a lot of people. But you know how one of those things where God gets you to reread a story that you've known for so long, and then you go, did they add that in there? Because that wasn't there. That definitely wasn't there the last time I read it. Or, how come I'm only seeing that now? Or, like, is this a new translation? Like, who's done this? Has someone put something in here? And so I've been reading this story recently, and there's just so much more stuff coming out. And I thought, am I just seeing it from a new light of things I've experienced? But anyway, so if you've got a Bible and you would want to find the passage, I'm talking from John 4. And we're talking about the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. And a lot of you may know what that is. I'm gonna read the story and hopefully not add bits, but explain bits as I go along. This story always to me was just, well, it's just a random story where Jesus just meets, obviously, a woman at the well. And he just has a conversation with her. And kind of reveals who he is, and the disciples come back and go, what was all that about? And he says, oh, you don't need to worry about that, it's fine. And then, so I always just saw it as just that was the story. So let me just read it and show, just kind of explain some of the bits that have just stood out to me. So in John 4, and it's Jesus and the woman at the well, and it says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, in brackets here, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples did. He left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called, are we calling it Sychar? Yeah, let's go with that. Near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, in my Bible, I've got a little one next to that, and it tells you at the bottom what that little one means, and it tells me that it's about noon. It's about the middle of the day that Jesus has stood at this well in a town in Samaria. Bear that in mind. Okay. So he's there at noon, and a woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said, "How is it that you, a Jew, asks a drink from me, a woman from Samaria?" For, in brackets again, thank you, writer, let me know here. For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. That's a good little context I need to know. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is it that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with. The well is really deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, and so did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks from this well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty and have to come here again and draw any more water." I don't think she gets it just yet, but she wants to know how can she get some living water. She's almost there. Jesus said to her, now this is a cool bit. It's like, wow, I didn't see this before. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back here." The woman answered him, I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying that I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you're with now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." I think she's got it by this point. I was just like, oh, gigs up. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem, or the Jews, is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I am he who speaks to you right now." Just as the disciples came back, they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but nobody said, "What are you doing?" or "Why are you talking to her?" So the woman left with the jar, went away into the town, and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the town where they were coming to him. What's important to remember in this context is that the lady's coming at to the well at noon. Now, this would have been one of the hottest parts of the day. You do not go out, if you've been on holiday and they say, "Don't go out between the hours of 2 and 4 because it's just too hot." So you kind of do that thing where you go out and you trek a little bit and you come home, you have a little nap, and then you go back out. This isn't a bragging thing. I went to Israel in May, okay? And Jethro went with me and he whooped. Okay, great. I was like, "Woo, we got an Israel fan in the house." So it's Jethro. Right, Jethro was there for a month. I joined him for 2 weeks. We went to Akko, with a church that we know, and then we went over to Tiberias, to the Sea of Galilee, and then we went down to Jerusalem, and then I caught a flight home and Jethro did a bit more exploring. When we got to Tiberias, it was roasting because there's no sea breeze. It's in the middle. It's like, it was so hot. I mean, we got out of the car and it was just like instant sweat. And I was just like, "Whoa, didn't expect this." We were on the coast earlier and that was like chilly and it was all right. But this is just so hot. And they said when we got into the hostel, "Yeah, don't go out between the hours of 2 and 4 because you'll roast, basically." So we came back, didn't we? We were like, "Go out in the morning, see all the Sea of Galilee, see all the Jesus bits." And it was like, "Get back before it's 2. We're going to burn when we're out here." So we got back and it was like aircon. Oh, like in this hostel. In this moment, she's going out in the hottest part of the day, okay? Which probably means that there's no one out, okay? Because it's hot. No one's going out at that point. If you're going to get well, you're going to go in the morning. when it's cooler, or maybe even the evening when it's cooler, but you're not going out in the middle of the day because it's hot. Why is she going out to get water in the middle of the day? We're looking at the fact that when Jesus says, you've had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. So you've kind of got this thing where I feel like shame is stopping her from coming out at the time that she would come out and see people. I'll go out at midday when there's no one around. I don't have to feel embarrassed. I don't have to feel shameful. I don't have to have any awkward conversations with people that I'll know in my town. And so she's out in the middle of the day. And I'm assuming that Jesus is aware of this. Why would someone be out in the middle of the day? And he gets a word of knowledge and he knows. But there's this moment where Jesus is interacting someone of where they're at. And I think, and I'm very guilty of this, and this isn't criticism, but I tend to hang out with too many Christians. I tend to hang out with too many Christians, and I find that I probably need to position myself at a well in the middle of a day so that actually I meet some people that may not be from the same place as I am, or the same background, or does the life in the same way. So we have this moment where Jesus meets this woman in the middle of the day, and he says to her, you know, if you'd have asked me for water, and I got, you would have had living water. And she kind of doesn't get it. She says, well, I don't want to be thirsty again, so give me this living water. And he's like, it's not quite the point. Then he reveals a word of knowledge to her, and he says, well, actually, go get your husband. Oh, you know, I don't have a husband. No, you've had five. Another. In this moment, she kind of twigs, okay, this is someone special. You must be a prophet. You must be someone. But her attention is now focused on, who is this and what could this be about? What we've been finding when we've been, let's say, going out treasure hunting or praying for people was when we give a word and we say, actually, we had the description, we had this name, someone goes from, oh, yeah, yeah, that's fine, to, oh, that's really interesting. How did you know that? What is that? That guy that I said I was scared about talking to, when we went up and approached him, he dismissed us straight away. He didn't want to know. We were wacky Christians in the park, didn't want to know us. We had a word that we had a name. We had a name, Steve. So we said, hey, we're from the church. We had, it's weird, we pray to God, and he gave us these clues about people, and we feel like you match the description. You're wearing these clothes. This is what we've got. Is there anything you'd like us to pray for? No, I'm fine. Thanks. Well, is there anything? Because, you know, you kind of match our thing, and we won't do it here. We'll go back to our church and pray, but is there anything? No, just not fast. Okay, and he kind of dismissed us. He kind of looked away, and he was watching his children. And then I think I said, I've just got to go for it, and I just got to say Steve. Let's say this comes up. So I didn't say, is your name Steve? But I said, does the name Steve have anything to do with you? And he looked at me like I'd revealed his bank details. Like, the look was like... And then he went, and I'm thinking, this is it. His name is blatantly Steve, and he's going to go, how do you know my name is Steve? And he said to me, get it, it might be important. he said, no, it's not Steve. And so we looked at each other like, well, Steve obviously means something to you because you looked at us like we just revealed your bank details. So, no, it's not Steve. I said, well, okay, well, if Steve means anything to you, just know that God knows your situation right now, or he knows Steve's situation, and just know that you're not alone. And if you ask God to speak to you, or you want to pray to God, he will hear you. So just do with that whatever you want, and have a great day. And we kind of left. Man, he stared at us as we walked out of this park. We were like looking back like this, and he's just looking at us like, how on earth do they know? And it's, you grab that, there's that attention of just, I'm not saying we're doing it as some kind of effect, but I think in this moment here, he grabs her attention a little bit more intensely. He says, actually, hang on, listen, I've got something to share with you. And then he goes on to give her hope and life by revealing who he is to her. And she goes on and says, hey, come and meet the man who's told me everything ever. Could this be the Christ? And so we have this incredible story where what I love about it is Jesus doesn't use a word of knowledge to judge her, to shame her, to say, well, you know, you've had five husbands, you know, God's pretty mad. He reveals, hey, I know this is going on, and this isn't what we're saying, that every word of knowledge is revealing of that stuff, but he says, hey, and then he says, hey, look, let me tell you about who I am, let me reveal about more who I am, the living water. And he gives her this hope, and he's a Jewish man talking to a woman from Samaria, which is just you just don't do it on a level. And so what I love about it is that this word of knowledge to not judge, but to encourage and to bring the kingdom of God and to bring God closer to that person. And one of the things I've loved, and we've always made sure for the Supernatural Youth Conference, and we've done anything, is that Paul gives some really good boundaries, if you like, for this kind of stuff in 1 Corinthians 14, where he says he desires you to have the spiritual gifts. He wants you to have those things, and he wants you to have the gift of prophecy. But he says it's got to be in a certain area. Okay, you've got to use it for the upbuilding. You've got to use it for encouragement, or you've got to use it for consolation. So in other words, when I looked up NIV, because I thought, consolation? I'm from Portsmouth, I didn't get this. The NIV says you use it for strengthening people, you use it to encourage people, and you use it to comfort people. If God ever gives you a word that don't fit into one of those three categories, don't say it. Okay? This is what we've made sure. We're like, when we go out and we share things, if you get a word of knowledge, it's like, well, actually, I know that your girlfriend's not very nice. I feel God saying that you need to dump them. It's like, hang on, don't go into that area. Let's go with strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. If we stick in those areas, we're doing okay. And Paul's saying these are the areas in which you need to stick in. And I heard someone recently say in a cool way, if you want to write this down, this isn't mine, but he said the gifts of the Spirit that are given to us are there to build up, fire up, and hold up. And I like that. To build up people, to fire them up, encourage them, and to just hold them when they need to be comforted. And so what I'm loving at the moment, as we kind of, as a church, as a youth ministry, as we're kind of diving into things, is this is what we're doing. We're trying to give encouraging words to people. We're trying to pray for healing. And what I also discovered is that one of the actual spiritual gifts is the gift of encouragement. And you might be thinking, well, hang on a minute. When people tell me about the spiritual gifts, it's all about praying for healing, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, all these things that just seem a little bit spooky and a bit out there for me. One of them is just literally the gift of encouragement. When I was at uni and we had a formation group, which is basically a self-help support group, which actually was really good, but you kind of go, "Oh, do I have to go to one of these?" We had to write down lovely things about each other. You know, like, what's great about the other person? We pass it around. And on mine was just funny, encouraging, funny, encouraging, funny, encouraging, funny, encouraging. And that kind of just, like, I was like, I'll take that. I'm pretty happy with that. But yes, encouragement, one of the spiritual, like, administration is another spiritual gift. Discernment, serving, and then we have things like prophecy, and we have words of knowledge, and we have healing, and lots of different stuff. But we want to be people who are, how do I put it? To coin a better phrase, naturally supernatural in our everyday. I'm not soul survivor. Don't shoot me if they hear this. We want to be natural with this. I don't want it to be weird and wacky. I don't want to go up to someone in McDonald's and say, lay a hand on their head and expect them to do wacky things. I just want to be, hey, can I pray for you? Is there stuff going on? Can I, with friends, with healing, you know, I want to be able to go to, I play ice hockey. I want to be able to go to ice hockey training with a bunch of guys, and one of them says, oh, my back is killing me. And for me to say, this is weird, okay, I'm a Christian, I believe that God heals and doesn't want you to be in pain, can I pray for your back? It's either going to go one of two ways. He's either going to say, yeah, that's great, or he's going to say, no, in which case I'm going to pray for him anyway, just without directly doing it to him. So I want to be naturally supernatural in my everyday, and I want to get to a point where I can hear God's voice as like a whisper in everything I do, because I think, well, it's God speaking. An example of this is, okay, yeah, I'm going to tell stories because my dad's here and it's fun. So when I grew up, okay, I didn't grow up with a fantastic youth leader like Chris, okay? Isn't Chris great? Can we give Chris, come on, Chris. Okay, I didn't grow up with a fantastic, slightly bizarre youth leader like Chris. But I grew up, funny enough, in Asda. On a Friday night, I grew up in Asda and Havant. Yeah, mums now know where we're going. So we used to go to Asda on a Friday night. We used to get food from the canteen sometimes. We used to cafe. Parents say, right, and you know the big Asda in Havant, so it's like massive. You can get lost in there. Parents say, right, go off, go for fun. Don't leave the building. We'll come get you at the end, right? So me and my brother, straight to the toy aisle. And when you get a little bit older, you get to the CD aisle. CDs are like discs that have music on, and you put them in a... I'll explain it later, it's fine. I'll explain it on the way home for you guys. So basically, like, DVD... No, okay, you're way beyond. So DVDs and CDs, and we used to go in, and we're like, oh, this is cool, and the sports section, and we used to be in there for hours, and mum and dad were, like, walking up and down, getting all the shopping on the massive trolley, we always, me and Jack, my younger brother, always knew when shopping was done because we would hear this. As soon as we hear, we're like, shopping's done, let's go. That's dad's whistle, okay? That's dad's whistle. So we'd hear dad go, and he could be like, you know, 10 aisles away over the music, over all the noise, and we'd hear, we just knew his whistle. We just knew it. You did the thing where you know the engine of the car that someone in your house drives when they pull up. What is that? It's just, you just know, like you get used to it. It's a repetitive thing. And the more you hear it, the more you know it. The more we heard the whistle as we were trained, obviously like sheepdogs apparently, whenever you whistled, we just came running. So, but we could literally be anywhere in the shot and that's dad. Just put the stuff down, let's go. And then we'd get to the till and they were there, like putting things on and paying and... And I want to get to the point where I hear God's voice like that, of just a whisper, just a whistle, and go, oh, yeah, that's God. And there's a bit in John 10 that speaks about Jesus being the good shepherd. And it talks about, in verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he uses an example about having all these sheep together and... that they don't number the sheep when they put them together, all the shepherds, and they go off and do whatever they're doing in their little shepherd's pie. Well, shepherd comes back and goes, sheep, and the sheep that know him say, oh, that's the shepherd, that's our guy, let's go. And they all wander off with the shepherd because they just know the voice of the shepherd. And so this is the point that I want to get to in life where actually God doesn't need to shout at me. He just needs to, well, maybe more than whistle because I might be like, what does that mean? But just speak to me in a quiet voice in my everyday. So I'd be like, is that you, God? I've also come to the conclusion, and it's very much led from Mike from Soul Survivor, that if I get it wrong, nobody dies. I might look like an idiot, but I look like an idiot pretty much 90% of the time in my life. So it's not an uncommon thing for me. But no one's going to die if I say, hey, can I pray for you? And they're like, no. Okay, cool, I'm just going to back out of this situation. Or, God, I feel like you're nudging me to do something. Let me just go and do it. If it only ever comes off once, like it's worth it for someone to just tell them that God loves them. I don't know whether it's... Look, these are my notes, okay? And Bible stuff, and I'm aware of the time as well. That's a cool story. Scowl Manor, you know what's coming. Okay, right, so little story about God speaking to me and just reassuring me in a moment, okay? So I'll end with this. I'm driving to work one day to the church and my head is spinning for some reason with just loads of doubt about different things. Renting a home, you know, how am I ever going to get enough to afford a home? Where's this job? Where's this ministry going? Just all these kind of questions that are just going through your head. I'm thinking, I'm trying to drive, and the radio is really loud. And I think I'm moving to that age where, you know, when you move from Radio 1 to Radio 2, because it was just noise. It was just noise. I'm joking, I love Radio 1, I'm young. Woo. It was just really noisy, and I thought, just turn it off. And I remembered that one of the gifts that God has given me is the gift of speaking in tongues. And for anyone who's kind of like, what's that all about? In the simplest of forms, I can explain it is me speaking in a language that I do not understand, but I know that my spirit is communicating with God. And so I know that when I speak it, it may sound insane in my ears and coming back round. I know that God understands. And I've always used it as a tool into which whenever I felt overwhelmed, whenever I felt really sad, whenever I felt angry, I've used it as a way to express how I'm feeling without having to put it into words. As I said, I'm from Portsmouth. I've got a vocabulary of about 100 words. So after a while, it runs out. And so I just go into speaking in tongues because I just think I gotta just get it out, okay? So it's just my thing, and I'm communicating with God, and it's a gift for some and it's not for others, but I'm speaking to God. And usually when I do it, I do feel a peace and a sense of I don't have to process what I'm feeling. I can just speak. So I'm speaking to God in my car, and usually it's just a whole bunch of language that I don't understand, and I don't ever remember it, but I know that I'm communicating and I'm offloading this to God, so that's fine, and I'm okay with that. However, this one particular day, I'm driving to church, and the noise, and this, and I turn it off, and I start, and all I'm saying is one word over and over and over and over again, and I'm thinking, this is not usual for when I speak in tongues. I usually just, I can't pick up anything. And the word was skalmana, and it just kept going around, and all I could say was skalmana, skalmana, and I'm thinking, how does this word look? How's it shaped? What are the letters? Skalmana, skalmana. And I thought, I've never had like a specific just one word before. When you get to the church car park, when you stop, why don't you just Google it and just see what it, if it's anything. Try and put the words together, because I don't even know how it's spelled. I'm just skalmana, skalmana. So I put in these letters of S-C-A-L, skull, and then mana, M-A-N-A. And I'm thinking, okay. So I type it into Google on my phone, and it comes up as, just on as a Google search, it says, English to Italian dictionary translation, but it had nothing underneath it. It just said that. So I thought, okay, let me get my Google Translate out, another app, and I got Italian up, and I Italian to English, and I put Scalmana, I thought it was spelled, put it in there, and I hit the translate button, and it came up with the word chill, as in, like, chill out, C-H-I-L-L, chill. And so in that moment, I literally just burst out laughing. And then you know that thing when you laugh and you go into... because I felt like, you know, just in that moment, God was just saying, chill. He didn't give me any answers. He didn't say, this is how you're going to buy your home, Tom. This is where your youth ministry is going. This is what you're going to do next day. He just said, just chill. And it was interesting to know that he'd communicated in a word that was relevant. It wasn't, relax, my son, for I am happy with ye. It was just like, just chill. It was just chill. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. That's just a great little everyday thing for me to remember. Chill, God's got it, you know, got me in his hands. It's going to be okay. He's forever faithful. He's forever good. And this past year, if anything, has proved it. And so I can now speak Italian. I can't. I can't say Scalmana. But this is kind of what we're doing with the Supernatural Youth Conference stuff. We're hoping that some of you guys want to come along and join us on that. I mean, I've got a very soft spot for Eastleigh Youth anyway. This is kind of what we're doing, and this is what I kind of just wanted to encourage you with this evening. It's just those little nudges from God, those little Holy Spirit moments of just, can I go back? Can I go do it? And I want to encourage you to go for it. And not in like, oh, I'm going to have to go down and pray for everyone, but even those little like, oh, I saw someone and I kind of said, do you need any food and chat? And oh, I struck a conversation with someone on holiday and I kind of found out that they were a Christian, and then that kind of led to really encouragement for meeting new friends. And just encourage you, just the little things. We're not asking for big things here. We're just saying one at a time, because the one is important to God, right? So that one person that you speak to and say, hey, God's aware of what's going on, whether that just be in word or whether you do that in action, whether you buy them at McDonald's, that again is just saying God loves you. So I hope that's kind of encouraging. I'm going to finish there because we're getting on. What do we want to do now? We want to worship. We want to pray. We want to pray and we want to sing. Yes, we do. And we'd like to sing In Christ Alone, because I chose that one. Let's stand and let's pray, and then we'll worship. It was beautiful to hear you all worshiping. I've forgotten how loud you all are. In a good way. No. Like, there's nothing worse than going into a church and being like, oh, no one's singing. But EC's always had this like, yeah, we like to sing and worship on Jesus. And that was encouraging. Let me just pray. I feel like, yeah, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are forever faithful. And that even in the worst days of our lives, you never abandon us. You're always there to comfort us. You understand. In our days of pure joy and victory, you jump up and down with us in pure delight. Lord, thank you that you're just so faithful. Lord, thank you that you care for the one. You care for the one. Lord, would we be encouraged to just hear your voice? Would we be encouraged to find ways to get to know your voice more, and to be brave and to recognize that and act on that? Would you give us a courage and for us to be brave with people that we do life with, that we can show love to them in whatever way, if it's a word, if it's a hug, whether it's food, whether it's an invitation. Just help us to listen to your spirit on our every day, and to have the courage to act on that. Lord, I thank you that even the opportunities that we miss, you never stop giving us opportunities. You invite us into this this kingdom, this movement, where you say, hey, I want you to go and do this. In my name, I want you to pray for someone. In my name, I want you to bless someone. Thank you that we get to be a part of your kingdom, an active part of your kingdom, and that you would use us. Help us to love those in our lives, to share the gospel of who you are, the good news of who you are, and the hope and the love that you have given to us. Let that just flow through our conversations and our actions and our relationships with those that we journey with. So as we leave this place, Holy Spirit, we just ask that, would you continue to speak to us in a way that we understand? Would you help us to get to know you more? And would you just give us courage to step out with you, to just tell someone that God loves them? In Jesus' name, amen.